I don't normally like it when people come to the front and sort of have an idea in their head. Just got a really strong feeling about something, so I'm just going to share it. It might be an encouragement to somebody. I don't know if any of you are feeling a bit moany this morning. I was feeling a bit moany. And the reason I was feeling a bit moany, it's a bit shine for real, I had a top on this morning and I spilt something on it. I was like, now I've got to go on another top, you know, and I've always got a 6-foot pile of Arnie, you know, like, I know all of you will have cupboards full of beautifully pressed clothes ready to put your hand on at any moment, but mine's always in a pile somewhere. So I was like, and I've kind of come in today, and I really feel that the story that came to my head was, you know, when Jesus goes into the temple and he clears the table, and it's not to do with that, but it was kind of as if the tables have got labels on, saying, moany, irritable, bit fed up, bit tired. And I kind of just felt, what about if Jesus was just sweeping those tables away, saying, no, we've come into church today. We are free to come into this amazing building and we're going to listen to the word of God and Dave's going to share it with us. And let's see. Well, I'm saying this to me, and if it works for you as well, hurrah. And if you just think, what's she on about? That's fine too. I'm just going to really try now, put nonsense to one side and really just focus on what God might say to us today, because it might be a real blessing. So bless you, Dave, for sharing with us, and I'm excited to see what God's going to say to us this morning.
All of us are created to worship. All of us. Every one of us, every human being is created to worship God. And if we don't worship God, we'll worship something else. You only have to watch a bunch of men talking about football, and you know that they worship football. Wow, did you see how Stevie Gerrard went down the ring and smacked it in the back of the net, and we all went up in the air? There's something about us that's created to worship. The last Liverpool game I went to was at Wembley three years ago. Started off all nice and quiet. Blues were playing at home. So I took my red top and put it in a bag. Got on a train station at Birmingham New Street. I didn't want any of them blue noses beating my head in. I put it in and I thought, do you know what? When we get a bit closer to Wembley, I will put this top on. Well, by the time we got to Solihull Station, every man and his dog was wearing a red top. So I nipped off to the toilet. Came out striding in my red top. And looked at the other supporters and went, ha-ha, we are here. We got down to Wembley. Barcelona are there with Lionel Messi, world's greatest footballer. Suarez, always a bit hungry, always having a little peck on somebody's shoulder. They came out looking resplendent. Liverpool came out. I didn't know half the team. They just brought a bunch of new players. They all came out. And then on 87,275 of us started singing, "You'll Never Walk Alone." 89,000. "You'll never walk alone." Gosh. I listened back to I recorded it on my phone, because that's what you do with the phones now. You don't talk on them, you record everything. And I noticed that there was 87,274 people singing in tune. And I heard my voice going, ooh. It brought a tear to my eye. Now, the fact that Liverpool won 4-0 is besides the point. We were there worshipping. It was Bill Shankly who said, "Football like religion? No, it's more important." We're there worshipping this football team. The thing is, we're made to worship God. And if we don't worship God, we'll worship something else. The thing you like talking about the most is probably the thing that you worship. When we had a guy called Steve living on the end of the road, he had an American sports car. Every tire cost £1,000. Good job he only had five of them. Every tire cost £1,000. He said, I love this car. And every Sunday when I come home from church, he'd be there polishing it with his diamond cup. And that thing would be gleaming in the sun. He said, you know, this car's far too powerful for me. I took it down the road the other day. Nearly smashed it into the wall. It's so powerful. This guy just kept on talking about his car. He loved his car. He worshipped his car. If we don't worship God, we'll be worshipping something else. And why would we worship God? Because he saved us, because he loved us, because he's brought everything that we need in life. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, who paid the price for our sins. He's made an entrance into heaven. When you look at John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. I've gone to prepare them for you. God has done all this for us. He's taken our sins, as big as they are, and nailed them to the cross and left them there, nailed them to the rough cross and left them there so that we could walk free and know him and worship him and praise him for all he's done. He designed us for worship. The Westminster Catechism says the chief aim of man is to worship God. When God made us, he made us to worship him. That is part of our DNA. And if we don't worship God, we will worship something else. I love the fact that I get the opportunity to worship God. In John chapter 4, recently we did the sketch of the woman at the well for Boys Brigade. And if you came to the Boys Brigade presentation evening, you'll have seen us perform it twice. The first time, the ending was a bit surreal and mystical. By the time we did it the second time, we got the point of the message. But partway through Jesus' discussion with the woman at the well, they recognized that it didn't matter if they worshipped him in Jerusalem. It didn't matter if you worshipped him in Samaria. God is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. Worship him with a whole heart. And why are we worshiping him? Well, the word worship means worthy-ship. God is worth praising. God is worth lavishing our attention on. The speaker, talking about this very subject, said God asked him three questions. The first one was, if you got into heaven and the gate clicked behind you and you knew you were in, what would you say? He went, I'd say glory! He said, what else would you say? He said, I said hallelujah! And then God said to this person, and if you saw my son face to face, what would you do? I'd fall on my knees. I'd use my tears to wash his feet. I couldn't use my hair to dry his feet because, you know, there's not copious amounts of it there. But that's how I'd come before him. And he said, God said to him, well, do it then. What are you waiting for? God isn't stiff British upper lip. Oh, no, I say, that's rather emotional. I don't think we can do that. It's rather emotional. God said to this pastor, then do it. And this pastor went away and thought about all the things he could say about God. And God said to him, if you think about all the things you can say about me, just say it. So this pastor, being theologically trained, came out with every single piece of information he knew about God and how great God was, is, and how great God, the great God has done for us from the beginning of time till now. And he ran out of words and he went, amen. And God went, is that all you got? If you run out of words, find some more or open your mouth. And I'll put some in there for you. to continue worshipping me. And so the pastor continued worshipping. He thought he'd taken 5 minutes. When he looked at his watch, he spent 1 hour 45 minutes. That is 100. 1 hour 45 minutes in prayer, in worship and praise of God because of what God has done in his life. God is worthy of our praise. That's why we worship him. The worship doesn't need to be sung. I like loud music. You probably heard from the drums a little bit. They don't need to mic them when I'm playing them because it's going to get a bit loud. I like loud music. But we don't need to go there with loud all the time. God speaks in the quiet. And as Steve Ayling preached the other week, God speaks in the ordinary. We can worship him wherever we are. We don't need to be in a specific place. It doesn't just have to be on a Sunday. It can be every single day of the week. I've got a sister called Margaret Utter. Beautiful Bristolian lady. She came up to me one Sunday and said, "Pastor Dave, Pastor Dave." I said, "Yes, Margaret. Tell me, is this speaking in tongues?" I said, "What do you mean?" "I was there washing the plates up, listening to my praise music. Da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden I started speaking a language I'd never heard before." And I thought, well, if you speak Bristolian, you probably were speaking English. Anyway, so she said, "I started speaking this language I'd never heard before, and the Spirit of God just came upon me while I was washing the plates." Now, how is that possible that God would do that while I'm washing the plates? I said, "You can worship God anywhere, anytime, anyhow. As the Spirit comes upon you, God is just asking that we just open up our hearts in surrender to him, and that we let him in and then express what we're feeling through prayer." I tell you, Margaret, you didn't need to be in our 18th century building surrounded by Bristolian stone to meet God. You can meet him at your kitchen sink every day if that is what God so requires. Well, what about our Bible verse for today? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so we come to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. A sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Now, I hate to tell you this, because you're going to think, "Oh, that bloke's dark. We're not sure about him at all." You're probably thinking that already. When we were kids, we lived in a house that backed onto a bunch of knocked-down houses in Wolverhampton. When you've got a set of derelict houses behind you, you tend to get mice and rats. I remember waking up. We were frightened to go to the toilet. I'm so old, our toilet was outside the house, in an outhouse. Who remembers those? Yeah, you've got to be a certain age. So if you wanted to go to the loo badly and had to go outside, you'd come downstairs and you'd flick the light on in the living room and you'd see all these mice go vroom, like that. Now, I don't know why we're so brave in those days. I mean, one day I woke up and there was a mouse crawling across my bedhead and I watched it go. And you could hear it scurrying up the walls in the old lath and plaster type things. Who remembers those things as well? In those days, we used to catch them. I've said God forgive me, so please I don't think this is what I do now. I used to catch them and feed them. Vim. Who remembers what Vim is? The thing would dance along and then boom. And I go to my brother, well, we've sacrificed another one. That thing was dead. He was dead. It was a sacrifice. He was dead. It was dead. You know, you'd have to pick it up and it was gone. When God calls us to be a living sacrifice, He's not expecting us to lay on the altar dead. I was going to lie on the communion table, but I thought, Dave, that's going too far. He's not expecting a dead body. He's expecting a living sacrifice, something that will do something in response to what He has done for us. A living sacrifice. He says, this is our reasonable worship, that we do acts of service as part of our worship. It's a sacrifice that He wants us to give, a kind of surrendering of ourselves that He wants us to give because of all that He has done for us. I like passionate worship. I love noisy worship. But when I wanted to find out which girl I was supposed to marry, Vivian, are you here? No. She's probably in Sunday. When I wanted to find out which girl I was supposed to marry, because at London Bible College, there were 375 of us, and 200 of them were women. And I thought, I'm going to start at that end of the corridor in the girls' dorm and work my way right down to the other end. Mary Evans was at this end. Vivian Lloyd was at this end. Oh, which end shall I start? I know. I'll start here with Vivian. And I never moved past the first door. You make sure you tell her that when she comes out. You know what I loved about her? It was the way she worshipped. She would stand there and she'd thrust her on. And we'd be worshipping and I'd be watching her worship and I'd be going, wow, I wish my heart was so passionate to God like that. I love the way. And then she could worship in French as well, which is even more kind of exotic. And I'd watch her worship and I think, wow, I love that woman's heart of worship. She'd go on to serve in so many different ways in the college. And when we got married 33 years ago, she'd go on serving all the churches I've been pastor of in so many different ways. Her life has been a life of passionate worship of God. She's not particularly a noisy person. She doesn't like Hillsongs because she thinks it's too noisy. I love Hillsongs. And she doesn't like it because, but her life shows you that my life, her life is dedicated to worship God in a real, living, and tangible and practical way. Those of you who are serving the guys who come in during the week for make lunch, that's your worship of God. Those of you who do other things in the church, whether it be Boys Brigade or Girls Brigade, that is part of your worship service to God. God has asked for a living sacrifice. He's not expecting us to be flat-lined and not doing anything. He expects our whole life, our whole being, to be shrouded in worship. And whatever we do is part of our worship to God. I'm going to tell you something that you're going to find hard to believe. I'm quite shy, really. I am. I'm a bit of an introvert. Yeah. A lot of it I have to force myself to do. I really do. And so, actually, I like the noise, but I also like the quiet. God tends to speak to us when we give him an opportunity to speak to us. He said this is part of our reasonable service of him. But the second part of the verse is, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. That is his good and acceptable and perfect will. So how do we worship God passionately? There has to be something in our lives that match up to everything we know about God and everything we say about God. You know, we know it ourselves. We worship God better when we're living more holy lives. We worship God better and understand him better when we surrender ourselves to him. Now, I love the word rededication. One of my older ladies, when I was at Small Heath, 90 years old, she said to me, every year, every first day of the month, I rededicate myself to Jesus. 90 years old. She'd been a Christian from the age of 12. Every month, I thought, what a wonderful practice that is. And so I thought, you know what? Every month I'm going to rededicate my life to Jesus. Because believe me, I'm such a barred man that I need to rededicate my life once a month. And there's something very special in connecting to God in that way. But 2 weeks ago, I was at the Hillsongs with Pete. And we were enjoying the worship and we were enjoying the preaching. One of the preachers said, rededication. Are you fed up with that word, rededication? He said, and I'm going, wow, don't touch that word. That's a sacred word to me, rededicating. And he said, you know what we keep on doing when we rededicate? We go, Lord, I'm really sorry. I've done that wrong. I'm really sorry. I'll never do it again. I'll rededicate myself to you. And then 2 weeks later, oh God, I'm really sorry. I've done that wrong. I rededicate my life to you. And then a month later, you go, oh Lord, you know, I said I'd never do that again. Well, I've done it again, but Lord, I rededicate my life and I promise I'll never do that again. He said, a better word for me, he said, was the word surrender. God doesn't always need us coming back to him and saying sorry, sorry, sorry. Because like our kids, it's like Isla. Yesterday, I sat down with Isla. There she was in the chair. We're sitting down in the garden. Said, Granddad, talk to me. She's only two, mind. What do you want to say, Isla? I'm really sorry, Granddad. I made Nanny angry and I made Mommy angry. Oh, what are you sorry about then? Well, you know, sometimes I just don't listen. I'm going to try better. I'm going to really try better, Granddad. I said, you know, the best way is not to do those things again. It's just to say, if this is going to make Nanny or Granddad or Mommy angry, I won't do it. I said, oh, that sounds really good, Granddad. I'll try that. 2 hours later, I don't want to go to bed. Oh, boy. I don't know where she gets that temper from. It gets a bit irksome, doesn't it, when you're having to hear somebody say sorry all the time because they're not really grasping that they need to say. The word surrender is saying, I've been so used to being in control, but I don't want to be in control anymore. I want you to be in control. I want you to order and direct my steps. I want you to order my life. I surrender to you. Do you know, since I use that word, surrender, anytime my thoughts are going, oh, somebody's cut me up, I'm going to chase them down the road in my car and I'm going to give them what for in Jesus' name. I go, hang on, I'm a surrendered person now. I don't need to do that. I find myself actually giving myself a chance to think and go, but if I'm surrendered, I don't need to behave like that. I need to behave like this. And when I find myself surrendering in worship, I go, Lord, if I'm surrendered to you, then Lord, what do you want to say to me during this time of worship when I'm expressing my love to you? What do you want to say to me? What do you need me to do as a surrendered follower of Jesus Christ? And it's amazing. I feel like my life's slightly holier than it's been for a long time. I feel like now, I'm not saying the word rededication where it all depends on what I can do and how I behave. Having said the word surrender now, surrendering in worship, surrendering to God, I find that when I'm worshiping and I give myself completely to the Lord, He can speak to me in different ways. I'm just going to find one note so I can finish. Surrender. I found since I surrendered and said, Lord, I surrender myself to you, I can be more passionate. And it isn't always about being demonstrative. You can fling your hands in the air if you want to. You can be quiet, you can be noisy. It's what God requires of you in that moment. But what He doesn't like, I'm sure, is when we come half, there's a word there, you can fill in the blanks, when we come without completely yielding ourselves to Him, just going for the motions, a bit like what Maggie said at the beginning, I feel, but I've come to hear what God has got to say. I've come to surrender myself, to see what He's got to do in my life and how He's going to impact my life. We've got to come in surrender with our arms out or our hands up like that, arms out, and say, Lord, we are surrendered. You give us what you need to give us. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory that we can muster from ourselves, whether it be demonstrative or whether it be quiet. We've come and we mean business with you. And as we're passionate about you, we know you're passionate about us. So Lord, give us what you need to give us, because we've come ready to receive. If you ever watch me worshiping in the car, you will see, you won't see, you'll hear my car. You'll hear my car coming down the road. You won't hear the engine. You'll hear the music. And it's all about Jesus. And you'll hear it. But if you watch me, I'll be going, yeah, hallelujah. And Vivian will be going, Dave, watch the road. There's something passionate that I've got to express about my Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something passionate that we all need to express about God and what He has done for us. So, as I close, I wonder if we could just close our eyes. I'm going to ask the music team to come back up. I wonder if we can close our eyes and just put our hands out and just in the quiet, because God speaks in the quiet as well as the noise. He speaks passionately in the quiet as well as in the noise. Put our arms out and say, Lord, if we heard the gates of heaven close behind us and we knew we were in heaven, what would we do? If we saw Jesus face to face, what would we do? And if we had the words to express our appreciation and our praise of Jesus, what would we say? And then we ask you to give us even more to say. Then what would we say? I'm just going to spend a few moments just thinking about how we come before the Lord. What does passion look like? What does passionate worship look like in our lives? Is it sung? Is it read? Is it service? Is it what we do. Let's just close our eyes, put our hands open, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And in a few moments, I will be singing a song in response. Amen.